It's Mail It In Friday, brought to you by Old Tomorrow Craft Beer.
Just what in the hell do you think you're doing?
It's Mail It In Friday.
Certainly there's nothing wrong with a little feast on our time.
Yeah, whatever.
You just gotta keep living, man. L-I-V-I-N.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Final hour, Mail It In Friday, and it's brought to you by Old Tomorrow Craft Beer. Just like Canada, Old Tomorrow Canadian Pale Ale is feisty but polite. You're awesome, Canada. So is our beer on TSN 1050, the TSN Go app, and now on TSN 2. The O-Dog, I guess we finally just have to let the cat out of the bag. He is not going baby monkey the whole afternoon.
He's not here. Before. He's just not in. He mailed it in today.
That's the thing. Like, if you tune in at any given time, he may have just disappeared for 7 or 8 minutes, and you wouldn't even know.
Right.
So I'm sure there have been days where people just hear, like, 3 minutes of the show, and they're like, I assume he's off?
Yeah.
No, he's here.
He's just not here. Or he's just mentally
sitting there doing his
here.
Thing. I don't know what the hell he's doing, but...
He took the day off. He's tired.
Yeah, I guess, you know, it's tough.
There was no... But people were writing in saying there's no overtime last night. There wasn't overtime.
He wasn't on the panel last night.
Oh, he wasn't?
No, he's on the panel, I believe, tonight.
Yeah, with me. I'm on the panel.
So you're on the panel. I think he's on the panel. Duffy's coming up in a minute. He's on the panel.
Oh, he's busy. He's got kids. He's got lots going on. He's a busy guy.
Yeah, he's a busy guy. I guess the social media director for the Maple Leafs has been a busy guy because this is the definition of too much time on your hands and getting fussy about something that is so irrelevant.
Right.
Because I guess a big story on Twitter today is that the Maple Leafs, their Twitter account, they've got 1.5 million followers.
Mm-hmm.
They used to follow like 25,000 people.
That many people they would follow?
Well, remember when Jose Bautista did that? I don't follow Bautista anymore because I couldn't take it. He followed so many people and then would retweet stupid stuff and...
Yeah, I don't know.
Bautista was following like 450,000 people. Like it was kind of a follow back routine.
Yeah, yeah.
You know how some people do that?
So they
have like 250,000 followers and they follow 245,000 people.
Yeah. That's too much.
It's way too much. And I guess the Leafs used to do that, but they just flushed all of the people they used to follow.
Except for one.
The only person the Twitter account now follows is Brendan Shanahan.
All right.
And I guess Leaf fans are taking it personally that they were unfollowed by the Leafs' Twitter account.
What, they're not going to be Leaf fans anymore? Grow up.
Thank you, Noodles. Anyone that is claiming that they're going to turn their backs on the Maple Leafs because they used to be followed by their Twitter account, now they're no longer followed,
figure it out. You know what you can be? You can be pissed off right now from May 1st to September 1st. But the minute that the puck drops, you'll still be there.
You'll be fine.
Exactly.
And, again, I don't know who is running their account. It's not Shanahan.
Yeah, it's not.
It's not Austin Matthews sitting there saying, I don't want to follow this guy anymore.
It's not a great optic, but really, does it really matter?
It's such a 2017 story. Who are you following on Twitter, and what does it mean that you unfollowed that person?
Well, I think people have that, like, that app where you can figure out, like, you were unfollowed 5 times this week or whatever.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Like, if I remember unfollowing this guy, and he sent me, like, the longest email. I was so hurt by you unfollowing me, and I'm like, I don't even remember doing it. I must have just made a mistake or something, but it was just weird.
Well, sometimes you pocket follow or whatever, and then you don't even realize it, and you're like, wait a minute, who's this guy? I don't even...
Yeah, I was going through my Twitter account the other day. There's people that... It's almost like Facebook. You got to do a purge once a month or whatever. I'm not on Facebook but you got to do a purge eventually.
Yeah, a purge is necessary. I'm looking at Bautista's Twitter account.
Yeah.
He has 1.25 million followers. That's not surprising.
No,
he's Bautista.
A star.
Do you want to guess at how many people he's following?
He should be like 500.
929 thousand people.
So if you follow him, he follows you
basically
back.
I'm guessing if
do you follow him?
I used to follow him. I had to stop. Like, he doesn't tweet a lot anymore anyway. I'm looking at his account, but he'd retweet people like, hey, thanks for the follow, retweet, hey, thanks for the follow, retweet. And it just got to a point where I'm like, I can't deal
but
with
when
Joey
you followed Bounce. Him did he follow you?
I don't think he did, actually.
Oh, that's what I mean.
So yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe this is
you're
me bitter. Subconsciously
you're a
being bitter
fan. Yeah, you're the You're the Leafs fan who was not followed.
I think you're probably right.
I don't know.
Anyway, future headlines brought to you by 2-for-1 Pizza later in the hour. We'll get to a Couching to 10K update as well a little bit later on. Don't forget, we're giving away a mail-in Friday prize pack courtesy of our friends at Old Tomorrow Craft Beer worth over $100. You have to be 19 years yes. of age or older to apply. Tweet us at Overdrive1050 how you are mailing it in this Friday, and you could walk away with that prize pack. We haven't talked a lot about the two hockey games last night.
Yeah.
Talked a lot about the NFL draft, a lot about the Raptors, a little bit about the Jays because clearly people are ready to just mail that season in.
It's a runaway train right now.
Feels pretty ugly. But the two hockey games, like I think Guy Boucher needs to come up with a new act. I've been really impressed with him.
Right.
But he's got to stop with them being the biggest underdogs in the history of hockey. You're up 1-0. Now it's over. You can't continue to pretend like you're underdogs in Ottawa. You can't do it.
You can't, but it was. I mean, everyone has slept on Ottawa. Like, it's an afterthought. It's so weird. All the storylines outside of Erik Karlsson. Erik Karlsson could be the face of the NHL, really, if he wanted to be. But nobody had been picking the Senators to run to the conference final or... I don't think anybody really was picking the Senators over the Rangers. I personally did.
You had Senators, Rangers in the yes. second round, and you had Ottawa beating them.
No. I didn't pick the Rangers getting out of the first round.
Me neither. I had Montreal, Ottawa.
When we readjusted, I had Montreal, Ottawa. But when we readjusted in this series, I said Ottawa's could beat the Rangers. But I also said that St. Louis can beat Nashville. Those are the two.
I think those are both coin flip series for them. I think they all are, except for Anaheim versus Edmonton. I still think Anaheim's a favorite, even though they're down 1-0.
Right.
But you grant Edmonton the first win. It's close to a coin flip now.
Yeah. And
I think all four are coin flips.
And I did pick Washington over Pittsburgh. And
we'll see about that.
A big win last night.
All right. Let's bring in James Duthie. What do you make of this Guy Boucher act where he's trying to convince the world that Ottawa's the worst team in the league? And it's a miracle that they might be able to beat New York.
All these coaches, their playbooks are so small when it comes to that. There's about four different plays they have to the media, and that's one of them. And I'm with you. I thought this entire second round was a coin flip completely. I didn't quite get it seemed to be that the Rangers were the overwhelming choice. And I don't think anybody ever asked me for a pick. Shows you how popular I am. But I guess I would have taken the Rangers in seven, maybe the Sens in seven. I hadn't really decided. But I didn't understand how they somehow had morphed into this. And I guess the only thing to get to Boucher's credit is most people seem to pick the Rangers. But I heard you guys before I came on. I agreed completely. The Rangers didn't. I thought that Montreal Rangers series was probably one of the poorest played, that's probably not the proper term, but neither team really impressed me that entire series. I think they were both two deeply flawed hockey teams. And so for the Rangers, suddenly, I guess because they knocked out the Montreal Canadiens to be thought of as this serious contender, I'm not so sure. So they might still win the series, but I think I think what Guy's doing is just what every coach tries to do is, nobody respects us, man. We're going to shock the world. That's my favorite expression in sports. We're going to shock the world.
Well, you know what would be shocking is if they actually sold out the building for game two, because a lot of people are buzzing about that over 2,000 seats were announced that were available, and it looked like there were even more empty seats than that. I mean, what's up with your hometown, man? What's going on with these Sens fans? Why aren't they buying up tickets? We're in the second round of the playoffs.
That's a great question, and one I tried to sit there and answer all last night sitting at the game. And I'm going to throw a bunch of things at the wall because I don't think there's necessarily just one. One of them is that the Sens have made the playoffs 16 of 20 years, which is really pretty impressive when you think about it. But they've never really done much in the playoffs besides 07 when they went to the Stanley Cup final. They've only gotten out of the first round once. So I think that's part of it, is there is a bit of the Atlanta Braves syndrome where we have a good team every year, but we're never going to win it all. And that kind of lulls the fans into, you know what, maybe when they're in the conference final, I'll start believing again, but I won't believe until then. I think that's part of it. I think there's been a general malaise in that entire market. You know, we went in there. Noodles was there all the time, but I think I was in there 6 or 7 times this year. And there was a lot of games with a lot of empty seats. And that's just, I don't know if it's the style of play. Part of me thinks Guy Boucher doesn't play the most exciting style of play. Certainly, there's a lot of trapping going on. But then again, you have Erik Karlsson, who's in the top 3 or 4 most exciting players in the world to watch. So I don't know if that's a viable excuse. Here's the other one I got thrown at me last night by a couple of people who I know well at the game, is that it's a government town, and apparently the government has implemented some new pay structure where the checks don't come every 2 weeks like most of us do. And some people are worried about getting their paychecks, and several people told me they believe that's a real thing, is that this is, if you suddenly don't have the money in hand to pay the $300 or $400 for tickets because you didn't get your check this week, and you might not get it for 3 more weeks or something, then you're not going to buy playoff tickets. So I don't know enough about government pay structures.
Yeah, wait a minute.
How is the government late on paying checks?
Well, this is the exact thing I said. Shouldn't the government be the most accurate, timely payroll people of them all? But apparently not. Apparently, this is a major complaint now with public servants in the nation's capital. So again, I throw that out there because 2 or 3 different people said it to me last night. But I just think in general, I would lean towards the first one, that the yearly success, but never real big success of the Senators has lulled that city into a place where they really need to be convinced that the team is special before they do anything. And, maybe part of it, too, is they look at Washington and Pittsburgh and say, okay, even if we win this round, this is not our year to win the Stanley Cup, which is a terrible way to look at things.
Very greedy.
If you make it to the Final Four.
Yeah.
That's fantastic, and anything can happen. But hopefully they'll be sold out on Saturday, and if they win the series, it goes deeper. Because I thought that was pretty embarrassing last night, frankly.
Yeah, that's my take, too. It's just an embarrassing look, and it really – Canadians, we get on our – high horse and take runs at Carolina and Florida and Arizona and how those markets are not viable short-term or long-term. And, hey, bring those teams up to Quebec City and a second team in Toronto and put one in Regina. We'll sell out. And here we have one team in our own backyard that can't sell out game one of the second round. It's crazy, man.
It's bad. It's really bad. And that city, look, that can be a really great, loud building. It's not, it doesn't have the reputation of a Montreal or certain places, but two of the loudest crowds I've ever witnessed in hockey were Game 3, the 07 Stanley Cup Final against Anaheim when the Sens won. And that, from the outset of that game, that was one of the loudest crowds. And the other one would have been the World Juniors, the year of the Eberle goal. And then they beat Sweden in the gold medal game. That was, I think, first or second loudest World Junior crowd I've ever heard. So they can be that way. The atmosphere can be great there. But, boy, the first period and a half of that game last night was an October 27th game against Columbus. That's what it felt like.
Which, again, is something I'd love to be a fly on the wall in Eugene Melnick's office just to try to get a read on this. I know they've got the rink coming and everyone's...
Well, Tom Anselmi, that was part of the reason that they booted out the old regime of Cyril Leader, who was a terrific guy, and most of his staff, is they weren't happy with the season ticket base, and they were too reliant on walk-ups. And, this is Anselmi's been on the job 2 months, so it's hard to criticize him, but I'm sure he had a couple of sweats on the old brow last night, because you're right, Eugene does not take kindly to these things.
No, I can't imagine he would.
I saw Huge on the way out to our car after the game, and the smiles were not as wide as they would be for a 2-1 heroic win.
In business,
I think you've probably hit the nail on the head for exactly the reason.
That's a lot of money that didn't come in, and they could use it with James Duthie. The other game last night, Caps Pens, thoroughly entertaining. Marc-Andre Fleury does his thing, and I don't think we brought up the Fleury story enough. Like, Matt Murray gets injured before game one of the first round. Fleury steps in there and plays really well for the most part against Columbus, and then he won them that game last night. And he seems like a good guy.
He's a great guy.
He seems like a great guy.
If I'm the Calgary Flames, I am all over Jimmy Rutherford this summer.
But could it change? Like, if he stands on his head and brings him to a cup, Is there anything that could change their mind where they say, you know what, maybe Matt Murray's got to go because Fleury's still only 31? Can you see that happening or no?
No.
I don't think so, just because of their pay structure. And I think they think Matt Murray's done it now for a year and a half. It's just injury that's kept them out of the situation. But I'm with you. Fleury's a fantastic guy. And, you know, so whoever gets him will get a really good guy. I mean, the reason I think he's been there so long, those guys literally, and you can see the reaction after they win. I think that, and I thought it was so ridiculous, the idea of trading him during the season. I mean, and good on Jimmy Rutherford to hold on to him. Because, look, the goalie market was such that you weren't going to get much anyway. And I if you're a bona fide contender, one of those top three or four, which Pittsburgh certainly was, why would you not? How many times do we see goalies go down in the playoffs? And I don't know who's their number. Who was going to be their number three if Marc-Andre Fleury had been traded?
Tristan Jarry is his name.
Yeah, so there you go. So I think it was a ludicrous notion, really, to trade him for whatever you would have gotten. I don't know, a second round pick or something. When now he might win you a Stanley Cup.
I agree, and there's a couple teams. If I'm Jimmy Neal in Dallas, I'm hovering around that situation as well. I know he still has goaltenders under term there, but he's going to buy one of them out. He has to. And he's got to upgrade his goaltending. Like Marc-Andre, there's a couple places that could use a bona fide starter, a guy who has been there, done that. Marc-Andre Fleury, popular in the dressing room. He's a great goaltender. And Matt Murray's going to take over there. But it's just, it happens.
And he seems to have eliminated the, you know, what he, unfortunately, what was his trademark were those really bad goals, which we would see every playoff. There'd be something almost every once a series during that span there from after they won the Stanley, before they won the Stanley Cup, and after, in those few years after they won the Stanley Cup. It was those groaner goals that you would get one a series at least on him. And those, for the most part, seem to have been, you know, knock on wood for his part, eliminated. And that's a big thing, because I think they often overshadowed what was a pretty good goaltender and pretty consistent.
NHL draft lottery tomorrow night. What is your worst-case scenario?
Well, my worst-case scenario would have having to been to cover it and do 4 hours of post on it, so I avoided that.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't feel like I have a vested interest this time.
Has to be Vegas, Duthie. Has to be Vegas.
No, I don't mind Vegas getting it.
Come on. Vegas doesn't deserve it.
I would love to see Vegas get it, but I would like to see a Canadian team get it as well. It'd be nice for Vancouver to get it.
It would be really nice for Vancouver. It was funny. I was doing Vancouver radio 2 days ago, and they were bitching about the system and how it should be the team that comes last gets first, and which is so funny because that is such, you know, opinion based on market, right? It's fine for the last few years. Everybody bitched about tanking and everything. So they finally changed the system, which I applauded heavily. And then it comes Vancouver's turn to be in that position to get one of the top picks. And now they're worried they're going to drop to whatever, six or whatever they could drop to because of this system. And I just think that's ludicrous. I think what they've done here is a good thing. At least there's not the buzz there have been the last 2 years. I don't think that'll ever be repeated when you have McDavid and you have Matthews back-to-back like that. And certainly this lottery doesn't hold up nearly to that. And I don't know if Bob reported today basically that a lot of the GMs are telling they'd rather get second so they don't have to make the decision, which is the greatest cop-out ever.
No kidding.
But because it's so close between a couple of those guys at the top, that that's not the worst thing. When Edmonton won the Yakupov, I don't even want to call it the Yakupov lottery, the lottery where they pick Yakupov. Steve Tambellini was visibly distraught in our studio when they won that lottery, because they knew the owner wanted Yakupov and they wanted Ryan Murray, and he felt, I could see visible embarrassment on his face that they had got it 3 years in a row. They were more than content to be second. And I really, literally felt sorry for the dude because they'd won the lottery. That's how bad it was for Edmonton. But anyway, worked out for them in the long run.
Well, I would say so.
Well, and that Yakupov, the Hockey News can barely find this guy. He's in
MIA.
Well, I mean, St. Louis, they barely play him. He's in and out of the lineup.
That's one of the great. It's not like, you know, Ryan Murray's unfortunately had a lot of injuries, but he's turned into a solid defenseman, I think, now. And it's not like he turned, you know, he may end up being a, I don't know what he's going to be. Maybe he ends up being a one or two and has seven or eight more years. But that's one of the big busts of our generation for sure.
Oh,
and one of the big
all-time
brutal decisions.
Just an all-time horrible.
During the
pick.
LA or the All-Star game in LA, I had dinner and a beer with Alexander Degg and Chris Pronger.
Right.
And that's a 1-2 combination that went awry.
Well, imagine Murray was Chris Pronger today. Like,
yeah.
Norris candidate, captain, unreal player.
Although, you know what? That whole draft now, I mean, Galchenyuk was 3. And everybody thought a year or so in, okay, that was the big mistake. That Galchenyuk should have been number 1. And now he kind of looks like, meh. So
Riley went 5. That was the famous quote from Burke. He said if they had first pick, they would take Riley.
It's interesting.
Right. And who was 4? Do you remember?
I think it was Reinhardt, was it? Was it Reinhardt?
No,
to
Reinhardt
the
was second the year.
Griffin Reinhardt.
Griffin the other Reinhardt.
Yeah, it was Griffin Reinhardt.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Yeah.
I think it was Griffin Reinhardt, 4th to the Isle, which was also a bad pick.
So really, you could certainly make a case. The Leafs got the best player, certainly in that group, for sure.
Well.
Yeah. So anyway, we're covering it on Saturday night, but I just, after the last 2 years, how can you come close to matching the buzz? That was a once in a twice in a generation thing.
And there were so many more Canadian teams. I mean, realistically, Winnipeg's not going to jump up again. You're talking about one Canadian team, so it's a completely different beast. Who's on the panel with you tonight?
I believe that Bob is back on the panel tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I believe. I guess Jamie is on the panel tonight. Now, is the O on the panel? That's the question, isn't it?
I'm quite curious to find out if he decides to show up for that part of the gig. I guess
we'll see. He was not thrilled with the Game 1 late night California assignment.
Yes.
I don't think.
The 10:30 start?
No.
Yeah,
I'm calling overtime tonight, too.
The best part about it is we stay now. We don't just stay till the game is over and do our hit. We stay to make sure the coaches don't say anything.
Yeah,
right?
Post sound. So if the coach goes nuts on a call, AV last night was upset about. He thought the game winning goal was offside, but I pointed out that the Rangers had 38 seconds to sort out that offside play. And
that was at 10:30 at night, not 1:30
exactly.
Or 2 in the morning.
2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, so this week, and I was right with, though, that I said to myself, look, no one's going to say anything. There was nothing controversial in the game, but there was no big injury besides Bieksa. So, but anyway, we're sitting there and waiting for the sound. Oh, goes and changes. He's got the jeans, the T-shirt, the running shoes already on. And so the makeup's off. There's no hope that if actually something happens. I almost prayed for something to happen so I could see him have to go put the suit back on. But you know what? I can't really mock him because it actually set an example for me. He did it, and then I sat there for a few minutes. I listened to Carlisle, and I'm like, you know what? O's got a point. So by the time we were halfway through Todd McClellan, I was in the same look with running shoes and shorts on.
Oh, man. I don't want to be in that room if it's
triple
overtime.
If O's my role model now, I got issues, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Don't go down that path. Take the other fork in the road. All right, buddy. We'll see you on the panel tonight.
Okay, guys. Take it easy.
James Duthie. Yeah, the NHL draft lottery tomorrow night. I would say worst-case scenario for me, Vegas, 1. Detroit, 2. Because you deserve pain if you're in Detroit. You made it to the playoffs, 26 years in a row?
Yeah, yeah.
You won, 4 cups or whatever it was, and you went to a bunch of cup finals? You're not bottoming out 1 year and then getting the first pick. No.
You got to go through some pain.
I want you
so
to be
Detroit
horrible
would
for
be
a few
your
years.
Rattling.
Yes, Vegas 1 if they got the first pick. Detroit 2.
If you think things to...
I don't really have any interest in Vancouver winning it. I got to be honest with you.
I would love to see Vegas win it. I would.
Why would you want Vegas to win it?
Because I want them to have success there. That's why. I want the league to do well in Las Vegas.
I want to see Vancouver drop the five just to see what the reaction will be like. Because they got hopped twice, I believe, last year. I think Columbus and Winnipeg both jumped in, and they moved down to five, and they took that Ole Ulevi kid.
Yeah. He's going to be fine.
He'll be fine. But if they drop the five, oh, man.
See, now that your team is, like, better, you're being obnoxious. I'm looking at other organizations.
You think people in Vancouver wanted the Leafs to win the lottery last year? Are you insane?
No, you're right.
Do you think they wanted them to win it the year before? Do you think anyone outside of Toronto and Leaf fans wanted the Leafs to do anything over the past few years in the lottery?
But the Leaf fan, I've told you this, is so big that that's why people in Vancouver were like, you have to watch Toronto. Even from the outset, you have to be happy that Austin Matthews is in a Canadian market. Like, you have to be happy that.
McDavid, I'll be honest.
You said that. When McDavid got
over Arizona or any American, 100%.
You said Canadian market.
Yes. You're right. But I don't have the same connection to Nolan Patrick
Nico Hischier.
I don't know enough about these players, and they're not hyped to the same extent.
Correct.
Just to see what the reaction is for material alone. But if you're asking me, in reality, would I rather Vancouver win than, like, Arizona? Yes.
Yes.
Of course I would.
Okay.
I would rather see the Canadian teams try to plug away, but I know that sentiment isn't a two-way street. People in Vancouver, they hate the Leafs. They didn't want to see the Leafs win. So just to be able to pick up on their misery and how just rattled their cages would be if that team drops to like 4 or 5 and doesn't get one of these top picks.
But that's what you're saying, the pick up on their misery.
Yeah.
Like the minute that the Habs struggle, you're like, how's Tony Marinaro do it? Like, you,
because they goof on the Leafs. They like I said last year after the Leafs won the draft lottery,
yeah,
they had been just feasting on the tears of Leaf fans for decades. The Leafs were the laughingstock of the league. Now, the Leafs did it to themselves.
Yeah, no, you're right.
But Habs fans loved goofing on the futile efforts of Leafs of the Maple Leafs and Vancouver fans when they're in the Cup final and all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah, you're right. They've had
come on, Noodles.
Success.
Spread the wealth a little bit.
We are
being vindictive and childish. Spread the wealth.
I just refuse to head down that path.
All right, that's fine. New Jersey, you'd hate if Jersey won the lottery.
Why?
Just be honest. You'd hate if
Jersey
won.
I'd love to see Taylor Hall have some success there. I'm a big Taylor Hall fan, and Corey Schneider, who didn't have a great season this year, he'll have a bounce back season next year.
Okay.
They have a couple young pieces, but they have to turn a corner there.
Watch. Vegas 1, Detroit 2, Tampa 3.
See, Tampa's one that's hidden in the weeds.
They're not
there.
Moving up. They got 1.8% chance. All right, we got to get to future headlines. Couching to 10K update. We're giving away that prize pack as well, courtesy of our friends at
Old Tomorrow
Canadian Pale Ale. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
A myth began to grow about my speed.
I'm too old to waste my time trying to train a no-good loser like you. You bum!
I need a miracle.
Run, Forrest, run! Get
set. From couching to 10K. Brought to you by Old Tomorrow Craft Beer.
All right, couching to 10K, brought to you by Old Tomorrow Craft Beer. Just like Canada, Old Tomorrow Canadian Pale Ale is feisty but polite. You're awesome, Canada. So is our beer. Got to get to a quick update before we get to future headlines. Give us something, Noodles. Do you have anything? Did you stand for an extended period of time?
Like future update type of thing?
No, couching to 10K.
Oh, did I stand? I thought we were going there.
No.
Yeah, I walked. I also...
future headline. Yes, you have a standing future headline. That would be really confusing.
Oh,
boy, Phil. I was talking about the bad back. And
all right, I did. I was active a little bit. Like, I didn't have treatment today, but it's seized up a little bit, as you saw me stretching in the break. But I'm on the road to recovery. I'm telling you right now, I'm getting looked at by a specialist on Monday, and... He's going to decide on the surgery or any type of non-evasive technique.
Okay.
I'm going to be up and around soon. But I'm not that active right now.
You got your new shoes on at the very least.
Exactly.
Our buddy Matt Hughes.
That's from our boy.
Olympian, and he's our guy. And he sent us some new shoes, and we can't thank him enough for that. So we're getting prepped. And I've been on a couple of long walks. Recently?
Some long walks recently.
Long walks. Yesterday, I dropped my kid off at daycare, so walked there.
Yes.
Same routine going back with the stroller and no kid in it.
Oh.
So people are driving by thinking I escaped from a home. Because it is a weird look. I know it's a weird look. You're walking around in the neighborhood without a kid in a stroller.
Well, as long as you're not known as the creep in the neighborhood. Like, you do have a kid.
But that's my concern. People that are driving by, they don't know that necessarily. They could be walking by thinking, who's this guy?
That's like, why you're wearing your dad outfit today.
Because I got the full out dad.
Like, you look like a dad.
New Balance shoes, khaki pants, bad hoodie.
But you look like a young dad.
Dad hair, taking walks, barbecuing, empty stroller. Eating food that was on the floor.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. But laying on the couch, watching 10 different things last night.
Right.
And it should be an active weekend for you as far as watching some good sports. And
I think so.
I can't wait for the Raptors to get rolling here.
Game one, Monday night.
What do you think? Like, is there a level of confidence with them?
Why don't we maybe see if that shows up in future headlines?
Let's do that.
Austin Matthews! Four goals! Do you believe this?
Or...
shifts were too long. Got caught out tired. Turned the puck over. Dug it out of our net.
Or...
Patterson with the electrifying throwdown!
Or...
everybody wants to get paid, you know, and I'm one of those guys included.
Overdrive. Future headlines.
Brought to you by 2-for-1 Pizza. Tweet us at Overdrive1050 or text us 105050 every Friday, your most outrageous future headline for your chance to win free pizza courtesy of our friends at 2-for-1 Pizza. I think I might order some 2-for-1 tonight,
nice.
Actually. Thinking the couch, some pizza, rounds 2 and 3 of the draft.
I got to bring in some pizza tonight into the studio.
Panel tonight, a couple of late games. We'll see if PK can do what he did again a couple of nights ago.
Yeah.
McDavid breaking out. Oilers are up 1-0. You mentioned the Raptors, though. This is a future headline beyond the weekend because Game 1 is on Monday. The Raptors shocked the world, shocked the Cavs, and shocked themselves by showing up and winning the series against Cleveland. Or the Raptors cannot leap over that mental hurdle and actually believe they can beat LeBron and the Cavs as Cleveland takes it in 6.
I'm saying Cleveland in 7. But it's Cleveland. That's
I know.
It's LeBron. And we talked about Ovi earlier in the show and LeBron. Two freaks of nature that just...
don't get injured. They
just roll along.
Yeah, I'm with you. I want to believe in the Raptors. I like the way they played the final 3 games.
So did I.
You know, third quarter, fourth quarter last night notwithstanding, they blow a 25-point lead, 34-7. Run for Milwaukee, but they still won in the end.
They won,
and they won 3 straight in a playoff series for the first time in their history.
Right.
And they played well defensively, and Norman Powell's been good. Ibaka's been pretty good. P.J. Tucker, they got a different cast of characters, but it's LeBron, man. Like,
you got to find a way to at least contain him. That's easier said than done,
right?
Yeah.
And ultimately, LeBron, whatever team he's on and the Cavs, they deserve the benefit of the doubt. The champs, until you knock them out, you know, it's difficult to believe that anyone can get through them. But I think the Raptors will push them more than they did a year ago.
Yes.
I'm kind of with you. I think this could go 7, but I'm on Cleveland.
Yeah.
The draft lottery lacks suspense as one of Colorado or Vancouver walk away with the top pick, or the NHL draft lottery has a curveball thrown at it as a team with odds 5-10 ends up with the first pick.
I'm saying curveball.
You think so?
I don't know why. I just feel like this is the year it could be curveball because it's just been so predictable in the last couple of years.
Yeah, Leafs had the best odds a year ago. They
supposed
won it.
To win it.
Edmonton had the third best odds and won it in the McDavid year. I'm kind of with you. I kind of feel like it's going to end up happening here where a team in like the 7th or 8th range, you know, like Philly hops up or something like that. What if the Kings moved up?
Yeah.
You know, something like that. I'm kind of with you. I'm expecting a curveball. Buffalo would be included in that.
Yeah.
This could be the year Buffalo finally actually wins.
Well, they don't even have a general manager to make the call.
Who ends up making the pick?
Interesting.
I'm sure they'll
have
someone
there by
the draft, you would believe. Anyway.
You hope.
Lonzo Ball. This is a big story today. Yes. Lonzo Ball at a UCLA. Supposed to be a top 3 or top 5 pick in the NBA draft. Nike, Adidas, and Under Armour, the 3 biggest shoe companies in the world, all said no dice. Not interested in endorsing you, not interested in working out
right
a relationship here because of your dad, LeVar Ball, who's a just an idiot.
Yeah, and he's a donkey.
He just keeps, he won't shut up. It's all about him. It's not about his kid. He keeps talking about how much money his kids are going to be worth. And here the three biggest companies that would have paid this kid a lot of money are saying, get the hell out of here. I feel for the kid because I think eventually, and we'll get to this in a minute, he's probably going to say, get the hell out of here. But he's only 19. It's easier said than done. And with that being the case, Lonzo Ball sticks by the side of his loudmouth dad and pays the consequences short term. Or, following the news from Nike, Under Armour, and Adidas, Lonzo Ball cuts off his old man and goes rogue from the Ball family.
He's going to stand by his dad. He's young, and his dad seems like he's overbearing on him. But at some point, it may not be short term. At some point, he's going to lash back and realize this jackass is cost him a lot of money and a lot of embarrassment too. The guy's an idiot.
It feels like it's going down that road, doesn't it? Like, I'm with you. I think he'll stick by his dad up until the draft, maybe even his first couple years in the league.
Yeah.
But if his dad causes a scene in the NBA, NBA teams will literally drag him out of the arena.
They'll give him the Oakley treatment.
Yeah. But like, security, get this guy. You're not allowed in the building. Like, this is grown men. This is the real world.
At some point, he's going to have to stand up to his dad. That's the truth.
Yeah. Because his dad, I'm sure his dad thinks he's helping. I think most dads in this situation believe they're helping, but he's clueless. Like, he doesn't know the way the business world works.
I think
he's
just too arrogant and self-centered to believe that he's hurting anybody. I think he's just a pure idiot.
Yeah, it feels that way. Because some people have been trying to argue that this is all a manipulated move. It's all contrived. I don't believe. I think he's winging it. I think he's shooting from the hip, and now it's backfiring. The Blue Jays start leaking to the media that they're open for business, sparking trade rumors throughout the baseball world. Or Shapiro and company try and stay positive, giving the team a vote of confidence that no one is going anywhere.
They have to give a vote of confidence. They can't. You can't have the, we're going to blow it up right now in April, early May.
Right.
You've got to hand out votes of confidence and patience, everyone. There's still 140 games or whatever. That's what you're going to be selling to everyone.
Even though I'm not sure I would believe it, I think that is more likely to happen.
Yes.
I think they would leak it to the media or even come out and say, listen, stop asking us. We're not doing anything. We believed in this team a month ago. We believe in them today. John Gibbons is still our guy. Fact is, the standings tell you something different. They're 6-16. Osuna can't save anything anymore. They've got injury problems, although it sounds like Sanchez will return this weekend. But Donaldson, no one knows when he's coming back. There's no updates on him.
I know. That's what's weird.
It's scary. And they need to play essentially 600 baseball to get to a number that might qualify them for the playoffs. And I think Shapiro and Atkins, they know that's not realistic.
So it's maybe they are proactive and get ahead of it. But I just think that this early on, they're going to stand by their team.
Right. You got to be careful because you don't want to make a rash decision.
No.
After 1 month and do something crazy that you regret 2-3 months down the road.
Agreed.
Future headlines brought to you by 2-for-1 Pizza.
Pretty good ones.
Not bad. Big weekend ahead. We'll come back, tee that up, get to our best bets and our three stars. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Don't forget, O-Dog Noodles and I are gearing up for the Scotiabank Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer Tournament September 23rd at Woodbine Racetrack. Visit TSN1050.ca to make a donation on behalf of Team Overdrive. For every $20, you'll be entered to win roster spots on the team for you and a friend. All proceeds go to the Princess Margaret Cancer Center. We're looking forward to that. Quickly, time now for our best bets brought to you by Proline. Win some money, donate it to cancer research.
Absolutely.
That makes a lot of sense to me. Looking at the three NBA games tonight, I'll take the points. Wizards at Falcons tonight. I'll lay the points. I think Boston closes tonight in Chicago. I think Utah is going to spank the Clippers, so I'll lay the points with the Jazz at home. Throw down 20 and you can score 100. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. And get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. So, Noodles, you're on the panel tonight.
Yes. No overtime. Let's pray.
I hope for your sake, no overtime. And Blues, Preds. But for me, I'm looking forward to seeing what McDavid brings tonight. Anytime I can watch him play, I'm gonna tune in. And I thought he was fine in game one. They didn't need him. They won without him for the most part.
Found a way to do it because Draisaitl will put a show on 4 points.
Yeah.
But it's be interesting to see how Anaheim reacts, because that team, they took it to the ground a little bit. It got a bit greasy. And Edmonton has the physicality. They can stand up to them as well.
I like Anaheim a lot tonight, though.
I know.
How do you feel about Anaheim?
I feel like they're going to have a massive response.
Yeah. They're a really good team.
For Cam Talbot, that's the equalizer, right? He's a great goaltender. And if McDavid goes off, that's two names when you look at teams, right? We talk Austin Matthews, Frederick Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
You go right around the teams. It's McDavid and Talbot that have to deliver tonight.
Well, you're right. I mean, these are the kind of moments where if you're going to go on a long run,
yeah,
it's like in a big poker tournament. Sometimes you got to win a hand where the odds are against you. You get lucky.
Yeah.
Right? You hit an ace on a river or whatever it is, and you're like, exactly. I don't know, I can't believe I survived. Tonight is a night where the odds would be stacked against Edmonton, but maybe Talbot just says, yeah, I'm stealing something.
Because he wasn't that good the other night.
Right.
He actually, in the opening night of the playoffs, all four goaltenders didn't play well, but two of them got wins. So if I'm Cam Talbot, I'm saying, well, the boys, they bailed me out the other night. I got to dig in here tonight.
Absolutely. You ready for the three stars?
Yes.
Overdrive, three stars of the day.
I'll start it off. Third star to two fans. Josh actually writes in, wife, it wouldn't be a 6 p.m. without Overdrive blaring in the kitchen.
Nice.
So that's Josh and Mona writing in, tuned in late. Have we discussed your hat yet?
Yeah, digging. What's up with that hat?
It's vintage goalie brand.
I like that, man. It's very quality hat.
I reached out to them. They've reached out to we've become friends, and I like their stuff.
Nice.
Yeah.
I might have an anti-star.
Really?
Well,
who is it?
He's on the panel tonight. I'll leave it at that. I won't say any more. He'll be on the panel somehow tonight.
Yeah.
But there's my anti-star. And I don't know. The guests were pretty solid today. Marcellus Wiley was outstanding.
He's very good.
Jeff Waltman, GM of the Raptors.
Yeah. We'll give everyone a shout-out.
Everyone a shout-out. Anyone podcasting the show, you can find it on iTunes.
Exactly.
Check us out, tsn1050.ca. All right, buddy. Enjoy your evening. Enjoy the weekend.
Yes.
We're back Monday at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.